pregame show here on VSiN. I'm Brian Noe. James Salinas with me today. And I'll just say this, James. First off, great to work with you, buddy. I am over cryptic messages. I'm over it. We got Aaron Rodgers. We've got Devontae Adams posting the same cryptic IG story of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen on the court as Bulls fist bumping, and we're supposed to sort it out. I'm over it, James. Are you over the cryptic messages as well?
Hey, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our sports betting lives, Brian. Absolutely. I'm right there with you, partner. Great to be on the show with you today as well. But, yeah, it's just such drama, off-season drama. We know the NFL makes itself relevant 365 days a year, and for us as sports bettors, we can dig into and feed into certain things and read between the lines of what's going on here. And as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned, it's very apparent and obvious, and we knew this for quite a while. He's stated this, that he does not want to be in Green Bay, is not happy with the front office, and he is looking to demand a trade. And now he's talking of speculation, and that's what we're total conjecture and speculation and thinking, is he actually going to retire? And then is it really going to be a retirement or just a way to force his way out of Green Bay and force a trade? His agent, Dave Dunn, has done this in the past. He did it a decade ago with Carson Palmer to get out of Cincinnati to go to Oakland. So we got to assume, we got to speculate that that's exactly what the motive is here. And Aaron Rodgers is not ready to hang up his cleats and call it good and hang out on the beach with his new wife. I think he wants to be in the NFL. He's a competitive player, but doesn't want to be there. The marriage is done. We've got separate bedrooms there with the front office and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Where do we go from here, Brian? Where do you take us? I don't know. I'm done with the cryptic messages and all this speculation and drama as well.
Yeah, it's. I hate it because I'm from the school of say what you mean what you say. Just be out with it. Be transparent. And that's not what Aaron Rodgers is. And so I'll bellyache and be like, I'm over it. And then I have to try to sort through the debris and figure out, hey, what are you trying to say here? And it would make sense, except for all the reports that he might retire and force his way out of Green Bay, where if I see an IG story from both Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams with Jordan and Pippen fist bumping, I'm thinking The Last Dance. That's the first thing that goes through my mind is, let's run it back for one more year. The contract talks broke off with Devontae Adams, the long-term extension. Aaron Rodgers for 2021, just this season alone, his best bet is with Green Bay. I think that's best for him to put him in a position to chase a Super Bowl. And so that would make sense to me, but with all these reports and all this speculation here in Vegas, with the Packers' NFC North odds being taken off the board or drastically changed because we're hearing all of this talk about possible retirement, except for that little nugget right there, it would make sense. My theory makes sense, except all the news contradicts what I'm thinking here. So long story short, James, I have no idea what they're saying with this cryptic IG message.
So from there, Brian, let's go ahead and start betting. Let's figure out how we're going to bet the Green Bay Packers, how we're going to bet the total wins for the Packers. How about the NFC North? Who's going to win the division? Win totals for all of those teams. Since we're going to talk speculation, we might as well fire on it. This is a family sports betting show. That's what we do here on the weekends on the pregame show. So, Brian, I thinking about where this stands and the impact that it's going to have, obviously that would have an impact if he retires and or forcing a trade to get out of Green Bay. Obviously, we know it's going to have a major impact on the Packers and what that season win total is going to look like, where they're going to fall within the standings within the division, because I think it's if he is gone or not on the field, and whether he gets traded or not, or just decides I'm just going to hold out and doesn't play for the Packers this season, we may see an offensive revolt. We're hearing it already. We're seeing that you're talking about the Instagram messages and the likeness of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan there. We're talking about Devontae Adams as the receiver, his number one guy in Green Bay. And is there going to be an offensive revolt? Could be within that locker room. I think it's already a divided locker room when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and his disdain for the front office, as well as potentially Matt LaFleur as the head coach there. But thinking about what is the fallout? You talked about sifting through the debris and the fallout from Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay or not playing for the Packers. What does that mean for other teams like the Vikings, like the Bears, and even the Lions, although the Lions, maybe that helps their season win total, because I think for the Packers, here's the one thing thinking about this. Think about last year. Now, not the same scenario with Tom Brady and his, how he left and his departure there with New England, but New England had been beaten up on everybody in their division and within the AFC for two decades. Well, there wasn't any sympathy loss for any of their opponents last year. The fact that this was an opportunity for them to really get some paid back on Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. We saw a lot of ugly games last year for the Patriots. I suspect that happens here. There's no sympathy given, no quarter here when it comes to teams that have been getting handled by the Green Bay Packers, led by Aaron Rodgers. I think it's going to be an ugly season for Green Bay all season long. Everybody's going to be licking their chops to get a little payback against the Packers.
And what a spot for Jordan Love if this is it for Aaron Rodgers. Think about that, James. You go from Brett Favre with his three MVPs. What was Aaron Rodgers up to? Is he a four-time MVP? Somewhere around there. I don't know off the top of my head. But you've gone, you've been used to this quality at the quarterback position for what, the past three decades roughly? And to go from that to a first-year starter in Jordan Love, you just were in the NFC Championship game on the heels of an MVP season for Aaron Rodgers, and that's the spot that Jordan Love could potentially find himself in. So if you're thinking along those lines, are you saying no for the Packers in the NFC North? Most likely you don't get a good price on that. How about the season win total 8.5? Are you smelling the under if that's the scenario here?
Under, and under some more. And not only because of thinking about Jordan Love now thrust into those shoes, everything that's going to swirl around off the field, all the distractions, and that's totally a distraction. I know the training camp's just right around the corner, but those are the things that every player is going to have to constantly answer. What do you think's going to happen? What's going on with it? Is Jordan Love ready to play? A lot of pressure, a lot of distractions throughout not only the preseason, but then rolling into the season and then digging into the schedule. Brian's schedule's brutal. Now, the open up at New Orleans, we know New Orleans is in a team within transition, especially on the offensive side of the football, with Michael Thomas being out now with the late offseason surgery on his ankle. We know there's no Drew Brees. What's going to happen at the quarterback position? But you're going to have to go on the road and, yeah, offensively challenged there for the New Orleans Saints, but terrific on defense, especially getting after the passer. And you're going to be playing in the Superdome, which is going to be at full capacity. So tough spot to go into. And you just look at some of these games in the first part of the season. You're playing games at San Francisco, Pittsburgh's defense coming to town. At Chicago, you're going to face the Washington football team's defense. Road games at Arizona, Kansas City. You're going to have to let Russell cook. Got a game against the Rams, too. You're looking at, look at how late their bye week is. It's in December. No chance to kind of take a breather and build the young quarterback in during the season. It's going to be a long season. 8.5 wins, way too lofty for me. I think maybe I'll be struggling to find 5 wins on this schedule for the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, 5 wins. Okay, it's the pregame show here on VSiN. I'm Brian Noe. He's James Salinas. If you go outside of the Packers, right, where do you see value? Is it a team like the Bears where their season win total is 7.5? Do you look at the Vikings? Do you even peek at the Lions with this Aaron Rodgers news? Does it affect them? Do you see any other value outside the Packers in the division?
You talked about the Bears, and the Bears, what are we going to see? I can't wait to see Andy Dalton in a Bears uniform. Let's go. Here we go. We're excited for that. I'm not sure what the Bears are doing. You went up, you moved up in the draft to go get the face of your franchise going forward in Justin Fields, and there's talk again from Nagy that Dalton is going to start the season. He is their quarterback to begin the year. Don't understand that, but if it is Justin Fields, different, totally different scenario, but big question marks there, and that's what we want to see. I know the defensive side with the Bears, we think about defense, and this is not going to be the same defense that was there a few years ago on the playoff run with Vic Fangio running the defensive side of the football. And the secondary, most of that secondary now, Brian, is here in Denver, which is down at Mile High Stadium, just down the street from where I'm broadcasting from, and I think the Bears, that's the big question mark for me. What is the impact at the quarterback position going to be? If it's Fields, we know there's going to be growing pains with a rookie back there. But my thinking is, why did, if you went up to get him, he should be out there. And yeah, you get him tested playing the Rams first week one. That's all right, young kid. The days of these young quarterbacks being able to sit behind the veteran, hold the clipboard and learn and kind of have the training wheels gradually come off to be able to play in the NFL, those days are done. It's a win now league. So if we do see Fields in there, I'd rather go with the Bears and take the lumps, but think about Fields and the impact that can have on their play calling offensively. And then digging into Minnesota, I think Minnesota's probably the team here that if there's one team to take away from last season, and we know last season was such a weird year, no fans in the stands for the most part, and so many games being moved around, players being available due to COVID. I think for the Browns, the one constant that we know there is going to be head coach Mike Zimmer. And Zimmer has his identity of what that team is going to look like on the defensive side. Now, a lot of young players on that defense did not have an opportunity, did not perform well last year, but also did not have a full offseason, no OTAs, didn't have a preseason. If anything, it might be looking at now Coach Zimmer stepping up as a coach on that defensive side. You're going to get Daniel Hunter back this year, did not play last year. He's a big upgrade to the pass rush for sure, which will help out that young secondary. Maybe that's a spot there, because I think offensively we did see, if there's one thing we did see offensively from the Minnesota Vikings, the emergence of the rookie wide receiver Justin Jefferson. I think he's in for a sensational year this year for the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm with you there. He absolutely hit the ground running as a rookie, and I don't see him slowing down this year. We'll get to a Kirk Cousins prop bet a little bit later in the program today, because I'm loving me some Kirk. I'll explain. But think about this, a couple of things. Think about the widely differing positions that Justin Fields of the Bears and Jordan Love of the Packers could find themselves in. If you look at the Bears, nothing but sucky quarterback play for decades, right? They've been a grease fire there. So Justin Fields, it's not like the expectations are through the roof or there's been some standard that's been set there that he's got to live up to. Conversely, Jordan Love, it's the exact opposite. So I find that to be pretty interesting how both of those guys could enter in as first-year starters this year and their situations are so much different. The other part to this is the million-dollar question, it boils down to what do you think happens with Aaron Rodgers? I think I'm just going to go down with the ship here, James. I've said I'll believe it when I see it. It's the best position for him to be in to stay in Green Bay for one final year. Let's do it 98 bowl style. It's the last dance. We all know it. They're going to deal him after the season is done. I'm going to stick with that. That could be dead wrong. How do you see it? Do you see him elsewhere this year?
From the Green Bay Packers standpoint, I've been right there with you, Brian, on the Packers side, just thinking – from a marketing perspective, how do you let him go? How does this happen? And what is the fallout and the damage control from the front office perspective when it comes to the fan base there in Green Bay? Absolutely. I just couldn't. There's so much speculation a few months ago right around the draft, obviously here in Denver, that this was going to be a landing spot out there in California. Aaron Rodgers playing golf with John Elway. And here we go. Rumors again, right? More speculation. But so much talk about the Broncos being able to land Aaron Rodgers, and I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see it from the Packers side saying we're going to go ahead and trade him and let him go, and then all the fallout and the damage control that would have to be done. I couldn't see it happening. I still don't see it happening. I still think it's either it's Packers or nothing right now for Aaron Rodgers. But if that does happen and he does leave, now we've only been talking about the NFC North and the impact that it has within the division, the impact that it has with the Packers. If that scenario does happen, we also have to consider where does he go, and then how does, obviously that's going to be a major upgrade for whatever team he goes to, as well as within that particular division, whether it's Denver or anywhere else. So many things to have to think about and consider if you're wanting to get it into the futures market. And for right now, I'm completely staying away from the futures market, not only with Aaron Rodgers, but there's a few other things going on right now outside off the field that has kind of me concerned about trying to make any kind of future bets, whether it's to win the Super Bowl, playing any teams, and or even player props for this matter.
What an off season for Green Bay. I mean, it's just been nonstop drama. This has been a soap opera. And we've got the latest installment with most of the wise guys here in Vegas thinking there could be some something here where Aaron Rodgers is not playing for Green Bay anymore. It's a fascinating storyline. There's no doubt about that. Okay, James, we've got a lot to do today, man. We've got all these player prop bets. I'm curious who you're looking at. We'll get to all of the baseball games, any lines that you're honing in on. That'll be fun as well. And then, oh, we got the Olympics. Oh, by the way, the Olympics are going on. We've got Team USA in action within the next 24 hours. How crazy is this, too? All I heard was that these NBA players, they're maxed out. It's been a short offseason. And then we've got Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday going on the first thing, smoking over there to Tokyo to join Team USA. So we'll get to that as well. Lots to do today. Coming up next, we'll talk to Chris Andrews, South Point odds maker. How are the books handling this situation? What makes the most sense? If the lines are still posted, how should they be adjusted? A lot of sports books have taken the Packers odds down with this possibility that Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay. So we will get to that momentarily. Chris Andrews from South Point, he will join us right around the corner. I'm Brian Noe. He's James Salinas. This is the pregame show on VSiN. It's time to put on your lucky pair of Crocs and channel your inner fortune teller, because your prediction might just make you $10,000 richer. The Crocs Hoops Draft Prediction Challenge is coming, and dare we say free, to play on DraftKings.com. If the odds are in your favor, 10 G's could be yours. Learn more at DraftKings.com/Crocs. Okay. Chris Andrews from South Point, the odds maker, he joins us right now on the pregame show. Chris, we chatted a little bit last night, but bring us up to date for this audience with where South Point stands with this Aaron Rodgers fiasco, with him maybe stepping away from Green Bay.
Well, a slight change in the odds since yesterday with the division. Had a little bit more money showing on the Vikings and a tiny bit on the Bears, but not really much. So I got the Packers plus 150, Vikings plus 140, Bears plus 325. I think last night I had them 350. Lions still at plus 1,800. So slight changes in the division odds, but not much. You know, we also have the Packers, the Saints 3-49 week one. I have not put up season win totals yet, but I think I probably will today, a little bit later. Season wins on the Packers. Yeah, I got it from a pretty good source yesterday, probably the same one, might be the same source that put it out yesterday to a lot of the sports books. But I don't know. I trust this guy who told me, I trust pretty much. He's been he's given me information before, and it's usually been right on.
Chris, thinking about not only within the division in the NFC North, if Aaron Rodgers is not there as a Green Bay Packer, but if he does get traded, you also have to consider, where is he going to go and how is that going to impact not only the team that he goes to within that division, even within that conference? Because I think we saw all this speculation started a few months ago, right down the street from me here at Mile High Stadium for the Denver Broncos, and we saw lines moving, future odds moving. What do you have to anticipate not only within that division for the Packers, but outside of that, potentially where that landing spot might be and how that affects your future market, where Aaron Rodgers goes?
Well, the guy I talked to told me that, yeah, you know, he thinks it's pretty solid that Aaron's going to, you know, quote unquote, retire. But he said that may just be a ploy to force the Packers' hand, which would force a trade, at least allow them to get something back in return. Even if it's not anything for this year, maybe some draft choices in the future. And of course, Denver's probably been the team that has gotten the most buzz. You know, Drew Locke is the quarterback. I mean, he hasn't exactly set the world on fire, Teddy Bridgewater is also there. And, you know, Teddy's just not the same since he had that horrible knee injury. And, you know, of course, Denver kind of pulled a similar move when they got Peyton Manning, who was let go by the Colts a couple years back. And they that was very successful for Denver, obviously. So that's been the team that's gotten the most buzz. I've seen a little bit of money on Denver, you know, as far as future bets, but nothing really outrageous. As a matter of fact, I have a guy who was from Denver and wanted to play. I told him, yeah, you're welcome to play. But meanwhile, he hasn't played yet, but we'll see what happens. But I do think that at least at this point in time, it's probably true what they say about Aaron. And, you know, it may be a ploy on his part to join to force Green Bay's hand. And we'll see if he joins another team down the road. I think that's a possibility, too.
Chris, who's the book rooting for today over at South Point?
Oh, well, we're a little early yet in the baseball rotation. So, you know, we got a couple of games, but nothing really for a while. So it's too early to tell. I hate to even say anything until we get to post time, you know. But, I mean, it's a regular Saturday afternoon baseball card, and I'm sure we'll have some sweat going for us by the end of the day. But nothing too much yet.
Chris, thinking about the Olympics, it started now. We know USA basketball, the men's side, is going to get going tomorrow. Has there been any action? Have you seen anything coming in on the USA men's basketball team at this point?
You know, nothing much. I mean, you know, I think a friend of mine, Jay Cornegay, was on, and he talked about it. You know, the Olympics are more a viewing event than they are a betting event. And we have prices up, of course, like everybody else, but it just garners very little action. And, you know, listen, it's a great event for NBC. The viewership is fantastic, but the betting market just isn't there. It's, you know, pretty much a non-event for sportsbooks.
Hey, Chris, appreciate your time, man. Enjoy the day. We'll catch you soon.
You got it. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
All right, catch you later. There he is, Chris Andrews, South Point odds maker. All right, coming up next, I have to say something disparaging against one of my favorite teams and baseball lines. It's the pregame show here on VSiN. Are coming soon, and there's no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. You know, James, Brian Noah and James Salinas here with you on VSiN. This is the pregame show. So I have to just briefly disparage one of my favorite teams. I grew up in South Bend, Indiana. I don't know how I've been a Dolphins fan since birth. I don't think I understood geography as a young kid, but they were just on NFL Network. They were replaying some of Super Bowl VII. And so I'm 43 years old. I was born just after the 72 Dolphins, so I don't remember it at all. And as a Dolphins fan, they replayed the entire game. This is years ago. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. I get to see the whole game. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen before with my eyes, James. Like, Bob Greasy threw, I'd have to go back and look, but, like, maybe 10 passes or so in that game. It was run left, run right, reverse, whoa, radical. It was such a different league back then, man. It'll blow your mind if you go back and watch that game now.
Wasn't that the Gary Yeprimian, or
yes.
Garo Yeprimian? So well, at least they tried to pass. If you can't, if you're trying to run the ball and you're struggling with Greasy, you're struggling on both sides to throw the football, get your kicker out there. Let him try to make a throw. And yeah, that is one of the ugly Super Bowl for one. What was it, a 14-7 final, whatever that ended up being. But that's, I think that's, if anything sticks with me from that Super Bowl, and I think for most people, if you're thinking about that Super Bowl between the Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins, then you can't get past the zaniness. That's when we had, you remember, we talked about NFL. I grew up on NFL films, loved NFL films and the blooper segments. Yeah. That always seemed to be the highlight of any blooper show that NFL films would put out.
And you just blew my mind. I never put this together that it wasn't actually a passing attempt. It would have been a fumble, right? We could have bumped up the passing attempts there, but Garrow screwed it up. Okay, let's look at the baseball lines here, James. You've got a couple of plays. Let's start with Yankees-Red Sox. What do you like in this matchup today?
Well, I'm waiting right now. I kind of lean towards the over here. I haven't made a play yet. I'm still waiting. Out here in Colorado and plenty of other jurisdictions, other states have these options. Not every state does, but for pitcher props. And it's really been a market that I've explored this year. Didn't have that before. We just legalized sports betting here in Colorado just last year. And so getting into the pitcher props is something that it's been a good market so far for me this year, and was looking at Eovaldi. Now, I don't have one up here when it comes to the amount of outs he's going to record. Basically, how deep is he going to go into the game or not go into the game? I like Eovaldi in this spot here. Just thinking about, he's pitched very well so far this season. Had a couple really good outings against the Yankees as well, but thinking about last night, the last couple nights for this Red Sox bullpen, they had to go deep early yesterday. I think it was a migraine that Rodriguez had to deal with, so he only pitched one inning. The bullpen had to come in. They've used five relievers last night, had to throw eight innings of baseball, as well as the night before went into extra innings, so they had to use five relievers in that game. So ultimately, between the first two games in this series versus the Yankees, the bullpens have been taxed. They've been very busy out there. They've accounted for 13 innings pitched in those two games. Collectively, 221 pitches out of the bullpen the first two games in this series. I think they're going to need Eovaldi to eat some innings tonight, and I think he's capable of doing that for sure. So that's where I'm looking at. I'll have to stay tuned. I'll stay on top of it as we progress through the show, not only through the pregame show, Brian, but Betting Across America that'll come up next. I'm going to stay on top of this. We've still got a few hours. They will post it at some point, but that's where I'm looking at Eovaldi to go over. Usually it's going to be somewhere in the 16.5 to 17.5 range. They're going to need to eat more than six innings, but if he can get to six innings, you're going to cash that ticket. I'll be keeping an eye out there, but no play as of yet on this game.
I like that. Okay. I'm going to stay on course here because I'm so tempted to talk about the taxed Dodgers bullpen, but you're not going with the Dodgers right here, which is fine. Rangers at the Astros. That's at 7:10 p.m. Eastern time this evening. What do you like in this matchup?
This is a pitcher prop that I did find. So, again, depending on your state, if you have these, Kyle Gibson tonight, his outs recorded sitting at 17.5 outs. I'm going to be betting against human achievement, Brian. I kind of tend to do that pretty frequently in a lot of sports. His outs recorded is sitting at 17.5. It's juiced to the over. I'm going to go the other side here and get plus 105 to say that he does not throw six innings tonight. Now, he's on the road, and I think that's the difference here. Gibson has had a sensational season, but more so, it's night and day when he's pitching in the Rangers' new ballpark. That is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark down there in Texas for the Rangers. He's been sensational down there. His ERA is under 2 when he's at home, but when he's on the road, it's a completely different story, and he wasn't very sharp on the road in his last start either. On Monday, he pitched against the Tigers, and the Tigers lit him up. 10 hits, 8 earned runs, and just 5 innings pitched, so night and day when we're talking about home road splits for Kyle Gibson, and especially going against this lineup. I know Correa has come back into the lineup for the Houston Astros, starting slow. He's been out of the lineup for a while, but it's a tremendous lineup. It leads the league when it comes to, they don't strike out. This is a team that puts the ball in play and utilizes the whole field. I think Kyle Gibson is going to have a rocky outing there in Houston today. So make mine under 17.5 outs pitched, plus 105 going against Kyle Gibson tonight.
And finally, while we're talking baseball, Rays at Indians. This is, the countdown has begun to the Guardians over here. So these, one of the few remaining games for the artist known currently as the Indians. They're marching toward a new nickname. Are they marching toward a win today against the Rays?
Well, they sure did last night. Nelson Cruz, welcome to Tampa Bay, and said it, really coming in and establishing yourself. Hit a home run last night. I think what Nelson Cruz does coming into this lineup for the Rays is it gives stability to that order, to the batting order. I think I've seen so many different batting orders. Guys, Rosarini, I think he hit seventh last night. I've seen him in the two hole, the three hole, leadoff spot, a number of different plays. These guys are up and down the lineup. I think what Cruz does is solidifies. He was hitting in the three hole last night, gives some protection there. Jaemon Choi, he had a home run having that protection with Cruz behind him. He hit a three run dinger, and I think that's where I'm looking at here. I'm going to be looking at the over in this game, over five and a half for the first five innings. And basically, you look at these two pitchers that are going to have the starts. Now, Rasmussen, he's just going to be the opener going for the Rays today. Four runs, five hits the last time he faced Cleveland in just one inning. Mejia got cracked by Tampa the last time 2 weeks ago. Gave up six runs in 2 2/3 innings. I'm looking at first five, over 5.5 Rays Cleveland today.
I've got an NFL player prop bet. You're either going to gain respect or lose respect for me. We're going to do that next. I'm Brian Noe. He's James Salinas. This is the pregame show on VSiN. It is the pregame show here on VSiN, and I'm Brian Noe alongside James Salinas. We've got some NFL prop bets here. Now, James, let me preface this. You're either going to be like, I like what you're thinking here, Noe, or you're going to be like, this guy, I don't want to work with him again. You're bringing the show down. It's going to be one of two reactions from you. I'm looking at Kirk Cousins' prop bet for total touchdown throws on the season, 28.5. I know he doesn't have a sterling reputation. That's fine. There was a video earlier this week where there was a woman who's a Vikings fan, and she was just shown screenshots of various Vikings players, and she would identify them. She knew some. She missed on others. Kirk Cousins popped up, and she's like, that's that MF-er that screws up every GD game. And I'm like, whoa. Like, if you do a blind resume test, Kirk Cousins last year, 35 touchdown passes? 13 picks. I'd like to see that number go down a little bit, but he was eighth in passer rating, eighth in passing yardage. He had a solid season statistically last year, so I like the over. You mentioned it earlier today. Justin Jefferson is a stud. Adam Thielen still doing his thing. Kirk Cousins doesn't take a lot of chances running the football. He should remain upright for the entire season. There's an extra game. He coasted to the over last year with 35 touchdown passes. I love the over 28.5 this year, James.
I'm right there with you. I agree. I think thinking about what does that offense look like? We know the identity. They want to run the football. Well, I guess they're going to have to figure out who's going to be the new offensive line coach there. I think Rick Dennison is now out in that position for the Minnesota Vikings. But ultimately, when you have Dalvin Cook back there and the ability to run the football, I don't love the offensive line from Minnesota, but I do love Dalvin Cook. You talked about the wideouts, the emergence of rookie Justin Jefferson last year. Adam Thielen can always sustain drives, terrific hands, great route runner, and particular on third down, keep the sticks moving and get on the other side of the field. So I think here for Minnesota, the other part too, Brian, is digging into the schedule. And you look at their schedule, this is a really soft schedule, especially on the defense, the pass defenses that they're going to be facing. They get to open up against Cincinnati. Now they do start first two games on the road, but on the road at Cincinnati, on the road at Arizona, these are not tremendous pass defenses. I think we saw the first home game is going to be against Seattle. We saw that pass defense, or the lack of pass defense from Seattle last year. I mean, you're getting games against Detroit, Carolina as a youngest defense in the league, Cleveland. Now, I think Cleveland has improved itself much better this year defensively than what we saw last year. But again, Dallas. I mean, you look down this list, and outside of having to go play at Baltimore and at San Francisco, these are some pretty soft defenses, especially the first half of the season. And I think we're going to see Minnesota get off to a really good start, not only from a win-loss perspective, but offensively, that's going to carry them. The other part, too, Brian, to your point, don't love the defense. Young defense, especially in the secondary. Daniel Hunter coming back, that's going to help give a pass rush. But we may see a lot of shootouts with the Minnesota Vikings this season. It's still a work in progress for Zimmer and that defensive side for the Minnesota Vikings. So shootouts alone being out there, you have opportunities to make big plays. You have wideouts to throw the football to. I agree with you. I like it as far as Kirk Cousins being able to exceed those totals.
You just made my day. You made my day, James. I like that you give the seal of approval on this one. That's awesome. And I think that's a great point with Minnesota's defense. They made some upgrades, right? They very defensive-laden draft, but it's not the 85 Bears out there. So, yeah, you could see some shootouts. If we shift to another prop bet, this one's really intriguing to me. Derrick Henry, stud Titans running back. He's been unbelievable the last 2 years. He rushed for over 2,000 yards last year. His rushing total this season is at 1,525.5. And although he's been just unbelievable the last 2 years, you look at the amount of carries and touches, and he had almost 400 touches last year. So do you look at that and say, yeah, he's a beast, but at some point it's inevitable that the production is going to start to head south? Do you think it heads south to the tune of the under hitting with his 1,525.5 rushing total this year?
That's the thing to consider. Not only the amount of carries that he had, what a workhorse he has been, and tremendous, just a physical runner with the speed, just a great. Think about that offense and what we've seen there in Tennessee for the last few years. Great balance under former offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. Well, he has moved on. He is in Atlanta now. So what is this offensive identity going to look like for Tennessee now with Todd Downing coming over to take the reins here? And I think that's probably where I'll be a little hesitant to try to see with some of these teams when you have transition. And I think for me, Brian, when I look at betting the NFL, especially early in the season, let's just talk the first 3-4 weeks of the season come September, I typically either betting against or I'm just looking in being in assessment mode when we have some turnover, whether it's from a coaching staff perspective or a roster. And I just want to see from Tennessee's standpoint, what are they going to look like offensively? Now, this is another team that is going to be in a lot of shootouts because that defense, it's a terrible defense. They get no pass rush whatsoever. Their secondary just gets torched because there's no help up front to get after the quarterback. I just think here for Tennessee, they brought in Julio Jones. Well, you bring in Julio Jones. They didn't bring in Julio Jones to run block. He is out there to make some plays in the passing game. So I suspect I wouldn't want to go the over in this route because I need to see first what is the offensive identity going to look like under new offensive coordinator Todd Downing. Remains to be seen, but I think this is going to be a team that is going to need to put some points on the board because that defensive side is going to give up a lot of points, and I think it's going to be Tannehill. If anything, I'd be looking at, yes, to your point, the under when it comes to Derrick Henry and his rushing yards, but more so even looking at Tannehill when we talk about his passing yards and his ability to get the ball down the field. The play action is going to be very impactful for him. We've seen that in the past, but I think there's going to be more opportunities for Tannehill to get the ball down the field, less opportunities for Derrick Henry to run the football. So to your point, under with Henry potentially, but for me, I think it's going to be more so looking at Tannehill to go over his passing yards because they're going to be in a lot of shootouts based on that pretty sad defense, especially in the secondary there in Tennessee, Brian.
Sure, and obviously getting Julio Jones helps the cause if you're in some shootouts and you're looking at Tannehill's over there. So, yeah, I hear you on that. It's the pregame show with Brian Noe and James Salinas here on VSiN. While we're talking NFL player props, let's do one more because one caught my attention. DK Metcalf, stud Seahawks receiver. Now, if you look at his totals, 1,275.5 in terms of receiving yardage, 9 touchdown catches. Now, he was barely over both of those totals last season. I like the over in terms of receiving yardage. I know that they're going to run the ball. They're going to get a little bit more back to that. It was like a wide open offense first half of the season. They got back to running the football more, so they didn't have to lean on their defense as heavily. So we know that's Pete Carroll's MO. That's his bread and butter. But DK Metcalf is an absolute beast. If you look in the division, yeah, Jalen Ramsey is a stud, but DK has put up numbers against him, and Arizona's secondary, if you look at what they have at corner, who's covering DK? Malcolm Butler? Like, good luck. We might see a Julio Jones 300-yard game like he had against the Carolina Panthers a few years ago. Which do you like more, James? I like the over in receiving yardage. Do you like the, provided you like the over, do you like either the receiving touchdowns or the receiving yardage over there for DK Metcalf?
Brian, here's another team that is going through transition when it comes to coaching on the offensive side, with Shane Waldron coming over from Los Angeles from the Rams, now going to be the new offensive coordinator for Seattle. And we heard in the offseason with Russell Wilson talking about, and he was, I've sacked 40-some-odd times. He's constantly under pressure. We've seen that throughout his career. Through his 9-year career, he has been the most hit quarterback in the league during that time, and he's spoken up about that and talked about, hey, I need some help. And starting out the offensive line, for one, the offensive line's got to stay healthy, but got to take some off. We know we talk about let Russ cook, but it's hard to cook when you're constantly under pressure, getting buried in the backfield. To this point here, I think this is another team that I just need to see. Are we going to see a shift in offensive identity for the Seattle Seahawks? I tend to think that we will, and more so trying to get back to running the football, or at least having some sense of balance there running the football, and then maybe coming in with Waldron, think about what it looked like in Los Angeles with the Rams offense. Quicker, shorter drops, quicker throws, trying to get the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands. Yeah, they're going to take their deep shots out of the play action pass, but I think for DK Metcalf, maybe you're thinking when he gets down there, when you get into the red zone, such a difficult matchup, such a difficult guard, whether he's going to be able to jam off the line and throw those opposing defensive backs off and then get into the end zone and be able to just jump balls. I mean, who's going to be able to out-jump and out-leap and out-wrestle DK Metcalf? 4 touchdowns there in the red zone. Yeah, they may be looking to run the football, but when you get into the red zone, I think it's Russell Wilson looking for DK Metcalf. If anything, I'd be looking at the total touchdowns here, opportunities for Metcalf this year. Maybe that's where I look at to go over.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm ready for the season. I am, James. It's almost like playing, you ever play those racing video games when you're a little kid and you have to get to those checkpoints to keep that time being extended? I feel like that with the NFL offseason. We get to these checkpoints where it's the schedule's released and it's like, oh man, is it time for the season yet? And then we get the player props and just going back and forth talking ball. I'm ready. I'm ready for week one over here. So it's going to be a tremendous thing when it finally does roll around. We got a lot to do. Coming up next, betting across America. We'll look at Team USA. They're about to get underway here in the Olympics with reinforcements showing up in Tokyo, fresh from the NBA Finals. We got Drew Holiday and Middleton along with Booker on the same flight. How about that? Would you be professional enough to not troll the guy that you just beat in the finals on the flight to join Team USA? I don't know if I would, but I would think that Holiday and Middleton are those guys. We'll also get to the baseball lines, more of what James thinks are good plays, good angles today, and also college football, Oklahoma and Texas. This is a whole thing. The fallout of that, the ripple effect potentially in the landscape of college football. So we'll get to all of that and more. Keep it locked right here on VSiN, Betting Across America with Brian Noe and James Salinas coming up next.